Okay, now starting to focus on the powerhouse itself, let's talk firstly about the coal supply system. Now, I understand in that late 40s period you have memories of fairly substantial coal stockpiles outside the powerhouse.
Yes, well, to the eastern side of the powerhouse, or the railway line that ran through there, there was quite a big coal stockpile at Grass. I mean, what quantity it was, it's hard to say, but I'd say it'd be probably 100 yards long. Of course, I'll use all imperial figures here in this, because it was in the days of the Empire, you know. So it was 100 meters, 100 feet, 100 yards long, and about 50 feet wide, and at height, I'd say it would go up to 30 feet.
Because this was a time of trouble on the coal fields.
Yeah, that's right. There was from I think probably 47, 48, 48, 49. That'll be documented, I suppose. There was continuous industrial trouble on the coal fields in especially in New South Wales, and there was other industrial things going on at the same time. That's probably stop coal supplies to Canberra, but they handled that coal pile by having a conveyor belt loader, which you know, they I think they had a few labourers there that used to shovel the coal onto the conveyor belt that delivered into a truck, and the truck then backed up to the hole in the railway lines where the rail trucks delivered the coal into the hopper underneath the railway lines and filled it from there. It used to come and go in height, but we used that coal supply also for the heating of our workshop, which was actually steeling, and we only had one sort of a cosy stove in the corner of the workshop, and you know, Canberra winter has always been the same, where you know, there'd be a good frost on the tin shed, and it wouldn't thaw till about 9 o'clock. And inside the workshop, you'd be beating down with water from the frost melting on the roof. And this one fire was the only warmth that you had in the whole place.
And so you'd steal a bucket full of coal for the stove and hopefully get away with it.
Well, we always got away with it. That's you know, until I think probably the superintendent of the powerhouse started to realize that his coal supply was disappearing. And it probably wasn't us, it might have been someone else, but as well, you know, that we'd had a better method of transporting the stuff. But yes, we used to get a bucket of coal and stick it on there, mix it with transformer oil. We'd pour transformer oil so that it would light fairly quick, which is an unusual method because there's not many people who've got supplies of transformer oil.
Now, I think you were saying to me, Sam, that the coal was of fairly poor quality.
Yes, this was noticeable when we lived in Dorr Street in Kingston, so you'd need a north wind to get the coal smoke across to us, which was is quite unusual for a north wind in Canberra. But when it did blow, it was quite objectionable. There was a very sulphurous mixture compared with what was used on the railway trains by the New South Wales government railways. It was definitely a different smell. It was full of sulphur, whereas the rail smell was quite, you know, quite refreshing. As a matter of fact, I used to lie in my bed and early summer nights and listen to the, you know, the crowds joining the Canberra train at 8 o'clock at night, and smelling the coal smoke and hot steam and hot oil sort of drifting across. It was a very refreshing smell. But that came out of the powerhouse was you know, virtually sulfuric acid.